but it made, all it did was make me sick. So if we can, you know, my whole goal was like, he was born at home, never vaccinated, no circumcision. He's never been to a medical doctor because he's never needed to go. He wasn't raised with a religion. I just said, listen to yourself. Because God's in all of us, telling us, guiding us. We're all here for a unique purpose. That's the flow. That's everything. That's why you feel inspiration. That's God. That's your source flowing through you. Like, yeah, that's why you're here.
Welcome to the New Age Human Podcast, where we have inspiring conversations with spiritual entrepreneurs in the areas of mindfulness, longevity, and innovative technology. I'm your host, John Astacio, and I'm on a mission to help humanity discover our human potential so we can together create positive change. Remember, the journey starts within. Please like and subscribe wherever you're listening or watching. And with that said, let's get to the show. Today's guest is Dr. Lynn Carey, a chiropractor and nutritionist who spent 18 years in practice gaining insights into healing chronic stress caused by a bunch of things, including time, money, passion, you name it. Today, we'll share her approach on achieving ultimate well-being by creating a desired lifestyle of health, wealth, and self-expression. And what I also want to get into is what she would say we can do to embrace the power within. I want to dive into that. But right now, Dr. Lynn Carey, thank you for coming on the show. Welcome.
Thank you, John. Thank you for having me.
I want to know, because you are a chiropractor by trade, and I'm not sure if you're practicing that now, but I am actively going to a chiropractor right now because I drive a lot, so I'm getting cracked, like, it's just loud. And are you still practicing, or is that like past life and you're working on other things now?
Yeah, I'm working on other things. I think I expanded out after being in practice for 18 years. It was time for me to try other endeavors.
Got it. And I'm actually curious, what got you into being a chiropractor? Why that of all things?
Yeah, I really look at it that it was a divine call, because I didn't know what I was getting into. I had spinal surgery for scoliosis when I was 15 years old. And the surgery itself, they said, was a success, but it left me sick and in pain for years. And then no one could help me. They had no answers for me. And so by the time I got to college, I was just going to college because they told me that's what you do to be successful. And I didn't know what to do with myself. And someone told me, I was just looking into different things. Someone said, look into chiropractic. I didn't know what it was. I read the pamphlet and it said, the power that made the body heals the body. And I thought, why hasn't anyone said this to me in like the last 5 years of my struggle and this path? And it just, you know, it chiropractic for me, it walked two worlds. It was mainstream enough where it looked like it was a legit degree, career, you know. But then it had this other thing that I didn't know about. That's what called me. And I didn't know. And I just went. I just went to chiropractic school. I didn't even get adjusted until I got there. But I got there and it was the beginning of changing my whole world.
Interesting. And so it's interesting how, like, I agree, right? You store things in your body, and it's almost like we get messed up by our life experiences, and that's what you were dealing with at a young age. And I'm sure everybody wants to know, like, what were you dealing with at such a young age that made your back just go haywire? What was that journey?
I love that you went right into the... I feel like that's the part that I was missing for people. They didn't understand it's what's going on in your life that causes the symptom, you know? And I had, you know, in chiropractic school, when I'm learning like the protocols or the things that could have caused scoliosis, I had them all. But there was a big emotional component. Like, I questioned everything in life when I was younger. I watched my family just work all the time. There still wasn't enough. Nobody looked happy. There wasn't any fun going on. And I thought, why are we doing this? Like, what's the purpose of all this? There's got to be more to life. Because if this is it, I don't want to be here. I remember thinking that very strongly. And then my father died when I was 12. I really believe that, you know, it was cancer, what they label as cancer, but he died of broken dreams. He failed entrepreneur in his entrepreneurial endeavors for many times. But at five, I don't know that. I just remember him, you know, you remember the tension of him losing everything, and then his energy was just gone. And then by the time I was 12, he died. And it just things didn't make sense. Like what my mom would tell me and what I thought pulled me in two different directions. And that's kind of one of the things with scoliosis. You're pulled in two different directions. There was another thing. I had braces from 6th to 8th grade. And then I had my father die in the middle of that. And they say, if you have like a traumatic event and you're going through this where they're, you know, they put braces on everybody today, but you know what that like messes your growth up. Like it's restricting all this area in your face, in your mouth, jaw, it affects everything. And
did you have like a big thing around your face Well,
I had the braces for 2 years, but then they made me sleep. I would sleep in that headgear as well.
Oh
yeah. It was awful. And then I went right into, after my father died, I went into scoliosis, but they braced me. They wanted to put that brace on me. I mean, I wore it for almost 2 years. And it's as hard as a brick wall. It goes from your armpits to your pelvis. So,
and that's like high school.
It was high school. Right. I was just starting high school. You know, that's already awkward anyway, right?
Yeah.
So you're going through all this stuff. So that's why, I mean, my family only followed what the medical world did. So I was getting different opinions, but they were all orthopedic guys. Of course, I was a perfect candidate for their surgery. That's all they knew. So if I knew what I knew today, I would have never had that done. But do you know they're still doing that surgery today? It's so crazy to me. There's such a disconnect in our healing worlds, you know?
They did surgery on your back.
Yeah, on my spine. They actually took pieces off of my spine, the spinal processes, and they even shaved bone from my pelvis. Because they took all those bone chips and they put Harrington rods, metal rods in my spine. Then they put the bone chips on top because they wanted to fuse my spine from getting worse. I was lucky in the sense that a year and a half later, my orthopedic guy took the rods out. And I believe it's because I had pain already. You know, the pain. And he was saying, oh, well, you're kind of a thin bone person. You might feel the rods. It's probably better to take them out. I didn't want to go through more surgery and take him out, but I'm really glad today that he took him out you know, I can't imagine having rods in your spine your whole life and your spine fusing, especially what I've learned as a chiropractor. It just is crazy.
And it's funny, we jumped right into it. It's interesting how a lot of, like you said, a lot of people don't think about the impact of your personal experiences, your emotion, your stress, and how that physically impacts you on a deep level in your, like your spine reacts to you emotionally. And I can see on the surface, like people slouch because they're feeling a certain way, your chest out when you're more confident, and then when you work out, you're more tight and things are better aligned, and that changes you mentally too. So it's like your mind and your body is having this back and forth communication. And then you had your surgery, and I can only imagine for other people how that's just, it doesn't change from there. Like the body can't adjust itself back after you help them out. And and I'm also like happy for you that you were able to kind of like get rid of that BS that that they put you through as far as physically having those rods. Do they fill those in? Do you have like holes and stuff? Like, how does that work?
You know, I don't know. They took them out. I have a scar on my back and my spine feels weird if you touch it, but I get adjusted like normal and I function like normal. It's weird because I'm like, oh yeah, I have the scoliosis, because it feels like as far as I've come from then, that was almost 30 years ago. I feel like a different person, but I'm so grateful for what that, going through that challenge. I'm so free now with health. I don't have any fear of health problems today. And that's what I would wish on anyone. If you could really own your body and be as comfortable in your body the way I am, it's such a gift. Because I see so many people live in fear of disease, live in fear of trying to, and then they go to the other extreme, which is part of the process. I'm not making it wrong. But then they go into the extreme of trying to eat a certain way, trying to exercise a certain way, trying to be a certain way because they got to create health. And that's just as stressful sometimes. There's that sweet spot when you surpass that, you know that your body is doing what it has to do and you're free.
It's interesting. It's interesting how you say that, because you have people that are like the health nuts, but driven by fear. And I want to go into that, because it's almost like that placebo effect, but in reverse, when you're living in fear. And I think that's where you're getting to. Maybe you want to highlight, like, maybe personal examples of people you know that might have gone through that, where maybe it was like a reverse placebo effect, and how that affects the body.
Can I tell you, I see it with everybody. I can tell when someone talks to me where they're at with their health and what they're creating for themselves. I can't change that for them. They have to come to that awareness. I can give them insight, but I can tell you my own personal, I'll tell you mm-hmm. what the turning point was. In chiropractic school, I started getting adjusted. The pain got worse because, but they explained it to me. The body has to heal, right? So you're waking, as I was getting adjusted, it's waking up all that stuff, scar tissue, trauma, besides all the emotions that were there before that were layered upon from the unnecessary surgery. But, you know, so you go through this process. Like, it took you years to get into this place. It might take years to untangle. So that put me at ease. But then I was in school and I'm learning a different way. I'm learning that there's an inner wisdom that runs the body called a life force that's always working. As we're sitting here, all our organs are working and we're not consciously controlling it. Can you imagine if we had to control all our organs with our minds as we have a conversation and try to eat and go on about our day? We couldn't do it. Why are we labeling symptoms as bad when your body knows what it's doing all day long? All of a sudden you have a symptom and we want to label it as sick, bad. We got to try to fix it. We want to pop a pill. Instead of saying, hey, why don't we just listen to what the body's trying to tell us? So that was a whole new way of looking at something. And then I had to learn, because we had to become a doctor in chiropractic school. We had to learn what the medical people did to pass all the board exams that had nothing to do with chiropractic, in my opinion. But I had to learn like the medical terminology. And I realized, I'm like, hey, they don't learn healing. They don't really learn the body. They want to know what all your symptoms are so they can label it with some disease name, which is usually, it was simple until they put this big, gigantic, like big terminology name on it, right? That now people don't know what it is. So that instills fear. So that all they know how to do is either cut it out or drug it, because big pharma's backing all that. And I thought, oh, they don't know. They already had the experience that they didn't know, because of going through it. I kept asking, why do I keep getting sick? And they would say, let me write a stronger prescription, whether it was a painkiller, whether it was an antibiotic for strep throat or whatever. I got everything. I got chicken pox, headaches, you know, colds that wouldn't go away. And I thought, this is crazy. And so it just connected. What happened was I lost the fear. I lost the fear that I couldn't get better. You know, I knew that I could get better. And I started owning becoming my own best doctor, you see? Because that illusion of somebody else knowing better than you, they didn't. And so it was my journey. And it was a couple years, probably till I got out of the pain crisis. Then I started implementing, well, why did I get the headache today? What was I stressed about? Why did my lower back kind of go out? It might have been my relationship or money stress. You see, I started connecting the emotions behind what was my current symptom. And I realized that's all people have to do is understand their energy flow. You understand your energy flow, you master the body. That's it.
Is it similar for every person, or does every person kind of like have a different energy flow?
I would say the energy flow is unique to each person, but we all have an energy flow. We all have a life force. So it's either, are you allowing it at 100% or are you dimming it? And you can tell by how stressed you are during the day, or how joyful are you? That's the key. And that's why it's key to be joyful in your life, to have purpose, to follow your dreams. You know, we're taught, I think it's shifting now, But I know I grew up thinking you got to just work hard, struggle, suffer. It doesn't matter. Happiness wasn't even questioned. But I'm realizing happiness is the key to health. It's important. Our dreams are important. That's why we're here, to live our dreams. So if you're not living what you came here for, eventually you're going to have dis-ease in your body because you're blocking the flow.
Mm-hmm. You're out of ease. Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And let's say you go get adjusted. And I picked up that, I picked up on what you said, where you go get adjusted and then certain things get released, right? Because your body is trying to, let's say, maintain the flow. And then now it's like you opened up the floodgates and some people might get emotional, but what's going on there where, when, because I'm going through it right now as far as going to the chiropractor, and you get adjusted and then now you're uncomfortable and they give you ice. And it's almost like you're slowly going back to where you were before you came. It's like they're battling what your body's trying to do. Is that what's going on? Is like, and then in that case, what can someone be mindful of when they're getting adjusted? I'm like literally talking about myself and other people.
Yeah. I know. So I think you have to look at getting adjusted as a tool. It's a tool to give you permission to go back to get in tune with your body. Because I think we're so disconnected, a lot of us, from what's going on with our body. Body work is a way to get readjusted to the energy so you can understand your flow. So when you get adjusted, it breaks up the restriction. Now, are you going to allow it to be clear, or is it going to go back to being restricted? Like, how are you allowing the body to do what it has to do? So you don't judge it as good or bad. I mean, don't even try to get rid of the pain. Like, just say, okay, maybe I need to rest. Maybe I need to slow down. Maybe it's not about getting rid of it, but being with it. And that's, a lot of us are carrying around stuff, whether it's trauma, whether it's emotional garbage from our childhood, old belief systems. They're going to come to the surface. It's the darkness. A lot of people, that's why we keep ourselves so busy, because nobody wants to feel. But it's important to allow that darkness, what we label as darkness or negative or that old stuff, to come up. Because if you can just be with it without being afraid of it, it'll go away. It'll release. So the adjustment is really in just till you get in tune with your body. It's great to get adjusted or a massage or any body work, but you're the one doing the work. You have to really start being in tune with what are you feeling and allowing it, and then move that, be able to incorporate that into your day to day. Like, when are you closing down? When are you staying open? What's your flow moment to moment, breath by breath, right? You become aware. Until you're able to live in this higher vibrational state where if you drop out of it, it's weird. You're like, oh. But you notice it before you get to the place where it, your body's hurting. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. It's almost like it's forcing you to be present.
Right.
You fell out present. All right, we're going to start creating bubbles in your spine so you got a crack, you know? Yeah. Do you recommend like doing journals? Like, you're like, oh, you know what? My back is bothering me. Okay, well, what was happening right now? What happened right now? Like, is it one of those things where like, let me just stop what I'm doing?
Yeah. Journaling is like one of the key things that I tell people, especially if you want to get in tune with any area of life, whether it's your body, your money, your relationships, your mindset, because you really have to focus on your body is just an indicator of what's out of balance in your life. You know, so if you journal, like, what do I want my life to look like? And be honest, like, write out your biggest dreams. If you don't know yet, then sometimes people say they don't know. I think it's because they don't either want to face it yet, or they don't think it could happen. It's too good to be true. But I'm saying to write it down anyway, even if you think it can happen or you're afraid, because you don't understand how it could unfold for you. If you ignore that inkling inside, it comes out as disease in your body. That's what cancer is. People are angry. People are walking around angry in their life. Besides the toxins and all that, you know, that we're living in with the air and the food. But I really believe that's minor compared to our mindset and how we feel and how happy we are in our life. Because that, once you get to that state, it surpasses everything.
It's interesting how you brought that up, where it's a lot more having to do, like there's more impact on your how you're feeling and your in your body versus the physical things that are being that your body's being exposed to. And it reminds me of those people where, you know, they live to like 90 plus, they're a smoker, you know, they had a basic diet, but they're just happy as F. Like, they're like, just chill. Life is life. Like, just, you know, hang out. And then you have the person that is like the biohacker, the this, the that, and they're, and it's just like one project after the other that they're looking to tackle. And yes, they're doing good, but like it's like you're running away from something, and all you're doing is getting really good at running. And I'm not putting down any biohackers, because there's a lot of really good things that you're learning about yourself that you can do on a physical level and on an energetic level. But it's like you said, it at the end of the day, how are you feeling about that experience? How are you feeling about that journey? And, you know, moving the needle forward. And I mentioned journaling, and which is, you're like, that's huge. Are there other things that you suggest or that you have people do to help with their, let's say, self-healing journey?
Yeah, the other part of the journaling that's huge too, that's very self-healing, is to start writing lists of gratitude, things that you're grateful for, or things that you appreciate, or even lists of things that inspire you. Simple as you saw a sunset, or you saw a cute dog or a bird, or, you know, those, I mean, what we could consider insignificant are significant, because you start to train yourself to look for the beauty around you all day long. Because I think we're programmed to look for problems to overcome. Where if we can embrace the beauty that's all around us, we start to attract more and more of that. And the universe just keeps feeding you what you focus on. So even if you have a challenge, it's not a, it doesn't become a struggle or a pain, or it becomes an awakening, an empowerment. It's the game of life. It's fun. It becomes fun. Even if you're hitting like a roadblock, you know, to step back and wait for an answer to come. The right podcast shows up, the right book shows up, the right person with a message. You know, you start, it becomes like a puzzle you're putting together, and it becomes exciting. It becomes inspiration and passion, and you feel more peaceful in your day because you're not trying to overcome things all day long. So I think the gratitude list, appreciation list, and anything you're feeling, any spark of inspiration that, or ideas, or what you're trying to figure out, that it's great to put pen to paper. I think it's amazing.
And it's when it comes to pen to paper, right? It's physical. And there's like a vibration that happens when you have the pen on the paper, and it's, and I think about that. I'm like, how am I feeling versus writing it with a pen versus a pencil? And there's some pens that are more frustrating to use. And I have like those pens, I'm like, trash. And the cheapest pen glides so nice. What are your thoughts on physical journaling versus virtual journaling? I honestly do a lot of virtual journaling just because of convenience, but I'm curious about your thoughts.
Convenience. Yeah. I'm old school. I grew up without the internet, so I love pen and paper. I'm definitely not a techie, as you know, for us just getting on this podcast, that was a challenge. But the pen, I actually learned too that trauma survivors, people who have endured great trauma, who have had like a lot of emotional or mental abuse, they can clear a lot of it from writing things out, pen to paper. I didn't realize that. I feel very healed when I write. I've always journaled. So that there is actually fact-based that it is a very healing. It helps rewire your brain when you're actually writing with a pen or a pencil on paper.
Mm-hmm. And it's that physical nature of it as well, right?
Yep.
Huh. I like how you also highlighted appreciation, and I'm not sure if you've seen it, but me coming from more of a tech background, I like to see visuals and like, all right, so like when you plug someone into a computer, like what do you see that I can kind of like bridge the gap between science and spirit? And I'm not sure if you saw this, but you have like the energetic signals of the body with their associations with the words, and the
whether it's anger, happiness, love, all the good ones, all the bad ones. And appreciation made someone light up the most, which was really cool. Would you be surprised by that?
Not at all. Not at all. You start to get so in tune with even how something sounds. Like, I don't know how people watch the news. As soon as I have it on by default, or I was getting my car worked on, and they had the mainstream news on, and I could just feel the vibration of it. And I was like, oh. Like, it's so, it's like harsh. You know, I'm very selective of what I watch, what I'm around, how something feels, what I say. You know, like, I don't ever say anymore. It's normal for me. It's weird when I hear somebody talking and they say I'm sick. Or, you know, it's just harsh to me. I'm like, you're not really sick. How can you use that word? You know, like, I would never call people in my office. I call them people in my office. I never called them patients. I hated that term. They're not sick. I only focused on wellness. I couldn't go there because it just wasn't how I healed. It wasn't what my body experienced, and my mind didn't work that way. So I think words are key. I mean, the more you start to tap into being aware moment to moment, you might not notice certain things because we had certain things that we consider normal that could be pretty negative, right? But the more you peel back layers, you get to that place where you're like, ooh, I just said that. Let me, how can I reword that? How can I have a new perspective on that? Because we're creating our reality with our words, our perspective, our thoughts. So you start to really fine tune in all areas. You can't compartmentalize anything because you realize it's one big picture. It's a flow. Your body's flowing, and can you flow it everywhere, in and out, even with everything in your life?
I like how you mentioned that it's just so toxic, right? Just mainstream news and a lot of the tactic of getting your attention is what I would call fear porn, right? And it's they're speaking to the very animalistic part of you that feels the need to survive. How do you manage or juggle the need to be current in the world and still maintain sanity and not fall into fear porn?
I guess I find little things that I check out on social media to get my updates on current events. And I can, I can't say it doesn't always affect me, but I've learned to be intentional about just being aware of what, you know, I find some few sources that I feel are credible. And I'm just aware of the information. Just take it in. It may or may not be true. Let me just take it in and kind of store it away for if I need it later to paint a bigger picture. So what anybody says, you don't know what's really factual, but you're taking it in and how it resonates. And you may need more information before you find it, create a bigger picture, but it's critical thinking, you know? And I think that's how I just gauge it for myself, but I'm not on there long. You know, I just check messages real quick, or I scroll a little bit, but I've never been one of those people who loses time on social media where they're just scrolling and scrolling. I've never, because nothing interests me that long on there to like that long. I'm like, what are you looking at? Like, I don't know. I've always been more about, I'd rather listen to a podcast about spirituality or law of attraction or a channel, you know, something that makes me feel good, you know, or I'd rather be sitting in nature. I love reading, taking walks. So I don't, and then I just do what I have to do also with the busyness. I don't stay busy all day long. I used to, but now I realize that creates dis-ease in my life, in my body. It's now, as soon as I feel off, I stop. Whether I need a moment to regroup, take a few breaths, maybe have a cup of coffee. That's my Zen moment, to just sit with my coffee and really be present. So now I look for, now I realize I'm more productive by how much flow and joy were in my day, how many things that I go with today, or how many things that I get triggered by today. That's my gauge now.
And yeah, I do see like how important it is for you to be that level of self-aware when juggling life's challenges, life's ups and downs. And for you, it seems as you got, and correct me if I'm wrong, as you got more aware of how your body is affected by your thoughts and feelings and that whole dynamic, it's easier to give it more energy and to protect that flow of the body, that communication. And it's almost like you're telling yourself, well, you know, we know what going down that path looks like, and it will literally break your back.
Literally.
We haven't really touched into the nutrition side of your background. Do you, like, how, what percentage of your work when you're working with people involves nutrition? I'm curious.
So there is an aspect of it. I'll tell you the background of my nutrition too. So in chiropractic school, we were able to get our bachelor's in nutrition alongside of our chiropractic degree because a lot of the classes overlapped. So I did my degree at the same time. But as chiropractic students, we were learning clean hygiene, right? Whereas ridding the toxins, understanding organic, all this, it was kind of new at the time. This was in the 90s. Then the nutritionists, or they weren't nutritionists, they were dietitians, a lot of them. They were still working with the food pyramid. I'm not kidding. So it was like, they hated us in their class because they'd be saying something and we'd all be putting our hands up like, we disagree. They were still working from that model. And I saw the disconnect there. And so I really believe it's just us getting back to what is nature, right? And it's just about your body's natural flow. Well, what's the most natural food you can eat? You know, it's the least processed, the least, you know, I can't believe, even if you're going to drink the soda, drink the soda. There's people who drink diet soda. Like, I'm thinking to myself, what in the world?
Go like, big or go home. Let's go.
Like, you're still carrying calories. You're still... Like, that cracked me up. I mean, everybody, you know, I don't mean to make fun, but it's so disconnected, right? But I remember being there. People would buy low fat, or they're worried about how many things they're eating a day. And I'm like, oh, my word. Just the key is to get into what do you naturally crave. Now, you can have unnatural cravings because you could be so toxic. So maybe
I naturally crave fries.
Yeah, I mean, you could put there could be a place to detox, right? But it shouldn't be so miserable. You should be like, you just cleaning out. So when you clean out, then you can reintroduce things and see how it makes your body feel. Some days you might want a soda. But guess what? If you're really in tune with yourself, you're not going to be drinking soda all day long. Because I just have a few sips and I'm like, okay, I'm done. You know, like, sometimes you want it. And so the thing is, when you're so strict with yourself that you just don't, I'm in the moment. What does my body want in the moment? Sometimes it's a really, it's like a burger. I want a burger. Other times I want a really big salad. I know how off, like, it's just like moment to moment. It's not even day to day, you know? And I think that's the key. I want people to understand how they're judging the food, how mindful they are when they eat, the amount of toxins and the amount versus the amount of nutrition they're putting in, just becoming aware, maybe making healthier choices. Because once you do that, like I said, once you get rid of the toxins overall, you can really feel your natural cravings. And then I think you're in a point where you really can be joyful and present and mindful when you eat and not so hung up there with worrying about it all the time.
Yeah. And what you said reminds me of something, and it's a story of my nutritional journey. And it started with the swear jar, right? You swear, you put a coin in the jar. Back when we had change, right?
Yeah.
So for me and my roommates at the time, we did a health food jar. So it was an honor system. And we had a list of food that you can't eat. And if you did, including alcohol, you put like a dollar, or, you know, they had different costs. I think it was just like a dollar across the board for everything. So fries were not on there. And I was like, hey, I'm going to keep that. So... like soda, I think, yeah, soda, alcohol, wine, all the burgers, all the basic American fast food diet was on that list. And so it would be funny because you would just see someone straight face just putting a couple bucks, like several dollars in, and they're like, don't ask. And then some people were like, you know what? I'm going out. I'm going to preemptively put 10 bucks in. I know it's going to be a wild night. I don't care. I need to have fun. Right. So it was really cool to see people just be okay with it. And for me, I'm like, you know what? I want to save some money. And I changed my diet. Ironically, I kept fries in there. That's like my kryptonite. And, but I stopped going to McDonald's at the time. I stopped going to a Chinese spot because where I worked, there was a Chinese spot. Like literally I shared a wall with it. And then across the street was McDonald's. So it was just like either or, just the convenience. I'm not bringing food to work. I'm just going to go out and pick something different. And then it was, let's say, 90 days of just avoiding stuff and me trying to avoid putting, you know, a dollar in for a burger. We go to a barbecue, I'm like, $5 right here. And I noticed that I had less cravings. And when I would go grocery shopping at the time, I remember as a child growing up, I would always ask my mom for like the Snicker bars. And so when I was on my own and single, I would always get a Snicker bar whenever I would go grocery shopping. That was just my thing. Like, you know, like no one's going to tell me I can't do this. But when I went back to like 90 days was up and I didn't win the swear jar or whatever you want to call it jar, I went back to going to McDonald's to, you know, the Chinese food, maybe soda here and there, but everything was so different. Things tasted different. I couldn't even walk back into McDonald's because I can smell the chemicals. I thought that they just cleaned the place, but it was still dirty. So I was smelling what was behind the counter being made and I couldn't order anymore. And I actually, one time I did and my stomach just totally rejected it and I was frustrated. And then I went grocery shopping. I'm like, at least I can have my Snicker bar. And I grabbed the king size Snicker bar and I'm like, yes, we're back. I couldn't handle more than two bites. I felt like I was downing a whole tablespoon of sugar just back to back. And I was just confused and frustrated. And that was like my, like, all right, I can't be stubborn anymore. Like I have to actually legit focus on my health. And I thought you would appreciate that because there was a mixture of people saying, F it, I'm going to go and have fun. And then me just realizing that the body knew more than me and I had to now listen to the body.
That, I mean, but that's the key to freedom because now you're in the moment. You could have a couple bites of the Snicker bar and then throw it out, right? But now now you're not like, oh, I really want that Snicker bar, but I can't have it. Do you know how much mental energy that is? Like, do you watch people when they eat or what they order if you go out or if you're with other people and how they order? And it's like,
that's calorie burns right there.
Oh my gosh, it's mentally exhausting. I'm like, they took the joy out of the whole experience just with everything, their whole thought process. So I always compare to them. I'm like, be present on what you're thinking about your food and what you do and all the labels. And now we have so many labels today. Oh, with the diet and how we eat. And my son and I, we just laugh because I've never restricted my son. I always let him eat whatever, even as a kid. Because I didn't want him to be one of those kids where my mom doesn't let me have anything. And then I'm going to the neighbor's house or the friend's house and they have all this junk food. And then the kid has to binge out because he never gets it at home. I always let him self-regulate. And he still does. He always has. He's never had a problem.
That's awesome. And I forgot to mention, yes, you're homeschooling your son, right?
Yep.
And how are you? I'm sure there's people listening right now that are thinking of doing it. We're going to do it. How does that dynamic of homeschooling with, I know that there's like a certain criteria you need to abide by with teaching and like the basics, but then at the same time, how are you incorporating what you're learning now and what we're talking about?
We kind of went from homeschool to unschool, you know, that terminology, because I got to the point where when he was younger, he's going to be 18 in like 2 weeks. So we kind of been through every phase. We started in the beginning, I would just do a couple times a week. We would do some reading, writing, math, basic stuff. A couple times a week with the book. We would just follow a book like what this grade, first grade needs to learn, what second grade needs to learn. And he always did activities. So he was always involved in different sports, jujitsu, music. He did that. Naturally social, didn't have to worry about that. The last few years changed things when we had the lockdowns and we lost a lot of things that we were doing. But then I also gave him the choice if he wanted to go to school. I hated it. I realized when I got out, I wasted my time because nobody taught me about anything practical in life. You know, there wasn't anything that you needed really in school. So I gave him the choice if you want to go just for social reasons. And so he decided to go in third grade and he had an amazing experience. And the teachers, and I didn't have him up to par with reading at that point because he didn't really, I didn't want to force it on him. I wanted him to like it. I didn't like reading until I got out of school. I don't think I ever read a book in school. I think I did Cliff Notes the whole way through.
Yes,
and I was an A student, honor roll. I did it all. I played the whole game.
Hey, it works. What works, works.
It worked. He had a great experience. And at first teacher's conference, I was nervous. I'm like, okay, here's the test. Like, how is my world and their world going to mesh? I really was waiting for them to be like, hey, your kid's not reading yet. This is a problem, blah, blah, blah. And they go, what are you doing with your son? Because he loves to learn. We wish every student was like him. He thinks big, he asks questions, he's excited. And I'm like, oh, I said, I've always let him be self-guided. Like, what is he interested in? I never interfered with him listening to his inner voice. Because that's what's wrong with all of us. We've all been interfered. We're all allowed to just come in and listen to our inner voice. We'd be living heaven on earth. But society's not set up like that, right? And I said, well, the thing is that I didn't push the reading because I didn't want him to hate it because we just weren't there yet. And he decided last minute that he wanted to go to school. I wasn't preparing to send him to school. We were still on our own timeline. And they're like, oh, don't worry about that. We can get him caught up. That's no problem. That's our goal. So I was like, oh, damn. So I'm like, okay, I'm good. It just like confirmed that I knew that I knew. It's like that turning point, just like when I lost the fear about me going to chiropractic school was a turning point for me. And so after that, he only went a year and a half, and then we went back to homeschool. And I just always taught him the principles that I've learned. Law of attraction, how you feel, follow your instinct, financial freedom, multiple streams of income. Stop. What do you need the degree for? And he sees all these people, they're graduating now and having, and I laugh. I'm like, boy, society's really set up on the false narratives. I mean, that's great. It's exciting for a minute when you graduate, and you have that. We really fucked all over that. And like, what does it mean that you can go be enslaved to a job for the rest of your life? Like, none of them know.
Congratulations.
They don't know about money. They don't know about the economy. I know that because I self-taught myself. Once I got into practice, I realized nobody taught me. I was on a wing and a prayer. I just went with passion and purpose. And I thought that was enough. And then I had no idea. So I'm like, okay, let me start reading. And, it just was a whole nother world. It's a whole different mindset. And I learned so much because I taught myself. So I teach him that. So he doesn't have to go through that. But I just watch. It's just interesting to watch the paths, right? So now he's doing learning to trade options, day trading. It's an online course.
He's turning 18. Congrats. Let's go.
And he knows. Like, he knows. I'm like, you want to invest that into other streams of business to create passive income. Like, that's his goal. And he has a job. He's always been abundant. He brings in whatever he needs. I watch him all the time. I wish I lived like that. I lived in so much scarcity and worry and overcoming and the struggle. And all it did was make me sick. That's it. So if we can, my whole goal was like, he was born at home, never vaccinated, no circumcision. He's never been to a medical doctor because he's never needed to go. He wasn't raised with a religion. I just said, listen to yourself, because God's in all of us, telling us, guiding us. We're all here for a unique purpose. That's the flow. That's everything. That's why you feel inspiration. That's God. That's your source flowing through you. Like, yeah, that's why you're here. And when you ignore that, that's why you feel like crap. That's why so many people are on antidepressants and anxiety medicine and all that. I'm like, no, stop labeling yourself depressed. You're probably the most awake person in the room. You're depressed because the structure of society sucks. Break out of it. Find a new path. We got to come out of the matrix and start living in the higher vibrational realms. That's our natural state. That's what I've discovered on my healing journey as a chiropractor.
That last part, where you're like, you're probably the most awake person in the room because you're suffering the most. What a flip of perspective. And you know you're not on your path when you're just not feeling it. And it's like those hero movies, the stories where they go through the mud because they had to go through the mud to know how to get rid of it. So I can only imagine with your son how he's benefiting from your experience, and he has, it sounds like he has a really good relationship with himself, as funny as that sounds, right? Because I still have arguments with myself, just not out loud. And, but you know, like he's like, because he has that good relationship with himself. I remember myself in high school, not really sure what I wanted to do for college. Like, just the game plan it wasn't attractive to me. But because I saw everybody else having a plan, and they give off this facade that they know what they're doing, they know what they want, and even if they really do know what they want, it could be based off of very limited self-awareness. Until you hit that wall, I just decided to follow suit. And I just was like, any, mini, miny, mo, that's what I'm going to study. And then no wonder I didn't finish, right? Because I just kind of stopped showing up because it just was draining and it didn't make sense. So it's really cool to see how you've helped someone connect with their inner voice and how at such a young age they have that craving to grow. So I love hearing that. I'm glad I asked. That's pretty cool. I'm excited for you.
You know, and, can I just say, looking back, I knew. Like, I would question, like, why am I studying this algebra? Why am I taking calculus? What? And my mom would say, oh, you'll see. You'll need it when you get out. Well, I never really saw anybody using it. Guess what? I didn't need it. I wasted my time. And I knew that I knew. I knew there was something off. Even like, how about just saving money? I would save money and to buy something, even if it was important. But then that money was gone. And I used to think, that was all my hours of working to get that. I knew there had to be something, but nobody talks about residual income, passive income, asset wealth versus debt, you know. And I had to teach myself that. I'm like, I knew something was off. Like, so I knew I had to unlearn all the programming to get back to my natural state. So that's why I just didn't want to do that to someone else.
Well said. Yeah. So as we come to a close and kind of wrap everything up, I want to ask you a question that I'm trialing right now. And I'm very curious, based off of your experience with working with people and life, let's say you're looking at the world right now, going macro, where do you see the world in 10 years?
I think we're entering a new world. I really do. I'm not going to say, I was freaked out a little bit a couple of years ago when everything locked down, because I thought, okay, now mm-hmm. we're within our freedom and people are just complying to what's going on. Mm-hmm. They understood mm-hmm. health the way I did. They would never fell for that crap from day one. And I lost a lot of people. Like, I lost a lot that I was doing and building for myself at the time because of it. But I came out that much wiser. I understand our natural rights. I understood a lot about economics, but now I understand it even more so with government and what it should look like and the corruption in there and being able to stand up for our own natural sovereignty. But then in 2023, I felt a shift. I felt myself going back to my spirituality again, because I was in a fight. I was standing up for freedom, health, freedom, everything else. And I haven't lived in that space in a long time, because when I first got into practice, I felt like I was kind of like anti-medical, fighting the fight, wanted, you know, anti-vaccine, like trying to wake people up. And then I realized, okay, I don't want to live in a fight. I just want to be an example and pave a new path and live in my joy, because I had my awakening and I was living in a bliss state and all that. But then, you know, 2020 brought me back to that fight. But then it eased out. 2023, I felt like, okay, I feel my spirituality kicking back in, my higher vibration, me working on myself. There's things showing up in my life that were not stable. You know, my business, my finances, because of if I was able to be derailed, like it's that theme again. Why did that happen? And I realized, I'm like, we are in a new consciousness. You know how I think we already shifted into a new consciousness, but it hasn't truly formed yet what this new world's going to look like. And I believe that's really affecting even my son right now. He's already been in the new world, right? But other people haven't caught up to him yet. I feel he hasn't found his tribe yet, his purpose, because I believe the new world's forming, because I believe all these old structures are falling away. And I do believe I was born, like I came in to experience this shift. That's what I feel. So I feel very positive, very excited. I think that higher vibrational state that I tapped into 20 years ago that I've learned to live my life by is going to be the new normal, right? And all these old things that we've been living in, fear and poverty, disease, all this suffering, it's dropping away, where it's just like how technology came in and just all of a sudden we reached a critical mass and it shifted and now we do everything with our phone. That's what's happening right now. The critical mass is happening right now with the new awakening of this living from a higher place of love, gratitude, appreciation, joy, inspiration. That's going to be the new normal. This old suffering, we're going to be like, ooh, we used to do that? And everything that supports that, all the fear porn and all that, it's just dropping away. But that's why the world looks so chaotic right now. But we're going to be shifting into this higher consciousness. I think it's already here, but the structures have not formed yet. So I believe in like 10 years, I think we're going to be pretty blissed out. That's what I see.
I like it. And I agree. I agree. And I like how you made it clear. You're like, instead of fighting, right? Like you said, what you think about, you bring about, in so many words, why not work on the solutions, right? I feel like you and I were working on the solutions after the collapse happens, so to speak, right? You have to, like, stuff falls apart. What are you going to grab to, right? There's much more people that need to see things fall apart, that false reality, and then you're like, okay, you'll see us in on the other side of that wall that you know couldn't, that was blocking us, and it falls apart. And we're like, hey, what's going on? And like, all right, cool. Let me catch up. What's going on? So like, you're like, it's kind of funny how like you brought that up, and I appreciate it, because I had that similar mentality where I'm like, all right, cool. I'm gonna fight. I'm gonna beat the crap out of some people mentally, physically. Let's go. When that's just self-perpetuating.
But you know what I think really the key with this, everything coming together, is us having conversations like this.
Yes, questioning.
And really, really key to us creating this new vibe that we're coming into.
Yeah. Not living in fear, talking about solutions. What can we do now? Where are we going? Awesome. Well, yeah. So let's say someone wants to connect with you and they like your vibe. Maybe the wall is crumbling right now, and they see you and hear your voice, and they're like, okay, what's going on there? What's the best way for someone to reach you? And if there's anything exciting down the road, feel free to share.
Yeah, so I have a website. It's creatingmydesiredlife.com. And you can go right on there and just email me a question if you want. I'll get back to you. You could get on my mailing list to see the things that I offer. And I also have my book on there. You can purchase my book right on there. So.
Good stuff. All right. Well, if you feel pulled, connect with Dr. Lynn Carey. Thank you for coming on the show. Really appreciate you.
Thank you, John. This was amazing.